from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get a preview of the Supply and Demand pop-up art exhibit opening this weekend.
I need some art. I'll check that out. Mm-hmm. I'll find out what's going on with this year's crop of New Harmony Project writers.
And I'll chat with Dance Kaleidoscope's dancer, Mariel Greenlee, about how she almost gave up dance but was inspired by a teacher who is now a guest DK choreographer. Plus, there'll be the calendar of events we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Take an old abandoned hardware supply store and warehouse that's about to be razed and let artists create installations with what they find there. And you have the recipe for Supply and Demand, the first pop-up art exhibit created by art consultant Ann Surek's business Art Plus Space. Joining Ann to talk with Travis DiNicola about the show is artist Emily Kinnerk and Arts for Learning's Joellen Florio-Rossabo, whose organization the show is a benefit for.
Ann, Joellen, Emily, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have the three of you here.
Thanks, Travis.
Good to be here.
You are all very welcome. I was just so excited when I heard that all of you were collaborating on this project, and I can't wait to talk about that. But let's start first, Ann, with you. Tell me a bit about this endeavor that you have, Art Plus Space, because this is, you've been doing this for a while, but this is the first time that you've done a pop-up exhibit, right?
Yes, this is our launch exhibition in my pop-up programming. Art Plus Space is an art consulting firm I founded in 2006 in Washington, D.C. And after moving here, I waited a while, but I thought it was a perfect time to start my business back up again. And I'm a full-service art consulting firm emphasizing trends in contemporary art and design. But I really love working with the artists and thought this pop-up idea would be great as a way to just have exhibitions around town.
Mm-hmm. And specifically this pop-up idea, how did this come about?
This came about actually after a trip to Grand Rapids, Michigan for Art Prize.
I may have been on that trip with you.
You were, yes.
Yeah.
And it was a really inspiring thing to do and a place to visit, to be surrounded by art in the city. And specifically, we went to, what was the name of the group again?
Site Lab. Yeah, they really had some of the most amazing work, both years that we've been up there.
Yes.
Taking sort of old, abandoned buildings and utilizing a lot of the materials and spaces left inside of them. One was a old sort of science and history museum. The other was an old hotel.
Right. So my husband and I loved that space, and he had recently acquired this building, and we thought, wouldn't it be so cool if we could transform the Superior Distribution Company and do something like Site Lab was doing in Grand Rapids, but bring it here.
Yeah, and so the Superior Building down on Fort Wayne was a warehouse and hardware supply, sort of interesting space, and it's going to be razed soon, right?
Yes, it will be redeveloped and do an apartment building in the near future.
Okay.
So we love the idea of activating something that had been vacant for a while and to use it before it was transformed into something else.
Very cool. So did you start working with the artists first or start talking to Joellen about tying this in with Arts for Learning?
Well, we did start with the artists. I actually co-curated this exhibition with Lauren Zoll and Catherine Armstrong, who are artists working in Indianapolis. They actually went to Grand Rapids on that trip with us.
Yeah.
They're also artists participating in the exhibition. So we got together and looked at the space, and everyone threw in names of people that they felt could really connect with this idea of responding to the space and creating a work inside it that would be interesting and innovative.
And Emily was one of those artists. Emily,
she was, yes.
So, Emily, you've been on Art of the Matter before, and
yes,
we've talked about your work, especially the great solo show you had at the IMA a few years back and the installation work that you do. So tell me a bit about your involvement in Supply and Demand.
actually, Lauren Zoll, one of the co-curators, contacted me and she said, hey, there's this building that's getting ready to be torn down. We're going to do a pop-up show in it. Come check out the space. And a lot of my work, I relate to the environment. So for me, it was a great time to try something new and different and just respond to the space as is. And so actually for this exhibit, I'm doing some sound work. And I've done a few sound pieces, you know, in the studio testing them out. But this will be the first time I've actually put together some sound works. So I'm very excited.
Very cool. Yeah. So what's the space that you are specifically in?
You know, I have a couple, probably side offices. Another one is probably maybe a manager's office, I'm not sure. And it has this giant picture window that's in an interior, which I thought was a really interesting play. I mean, since we don't know the history or what the room was for at that time, but we understand a picture window is something to look out or to look in. And so it's kind of this interesting kind of...
But it's an interior window.
Yeah, so, it's very bizarre. And so I thought... It was kind of an interesting play, and so I chose some sound pieces to go with that, interior, exterior, but in an interior.
Now, for the space itself, I mean, did you like go through the building and say, like, oh, I want this space, or were you sort of assigned spaces, or how did that work?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think, you know, Anne and the other two artist curators kind of walked around and said, oh, we were thinking this space, and they let us walk through, and also, what do you have in mind?
True.
And it was a very, I think, natural progression with the artist of making a really cohesive thing, and now things are all getting put in and installed, and it's... Different than, of course, what you thought, but it's exciting.
And so what sort of sound are you using for your piece?
Some of them are manufactured sounds. Like I'm using laugh tracks, which you guys are probably all familiar with, and how they're kind of, in some respects, manipulative. That's for one piece. And then another piece, I'm anybody who comes into the room, they're able to speak into a microphone. But instead of it expressing as a loud sound that we understand of a person's voice, it's actually turned into a movement.
Okay.
And that movement will engage a dining room table and the dishes will fall off the table or be moved through that in another part of the building. So it's kind of using sound as an object.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of your work, you know, focuses on sort of domestic themes and kitchens and such. So that, you know, that makes sense. But I'm trying to picture what that's going to be like or hear what that's going to be like. I can't wait to see it.
It's definitely a different piece for me. But I'm really enjoying kind of, I moved back from Vegas and the sound in Vegas is a manipulative, you know, trying to orchestrate things. So I'm kind of taking that idea as sound not as content and understood, but as an object.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting piece, I will say that.
So, Joellen, I was so thrilled to see that not only is this exhibit happening with three great curators and some amazing artists, but that it's also tied into Arts for Learning.
Yes.
That's very cool. So tell me a bit about Arts for Learning, then we'll talk about how this all got connected.
Okay. Well, Arts for Learning has been around for 54 years. We've been bringing arts programming to children all over the state, but we do quite a bit of work in the Indianapolis area with Indianapolis Public Schools and charter schools and the surrounding districts. And we started as an organization to bring professional teaching artists in music, but over the years that's grown to incorporate all disciplines of the arts, and visual arts is an important aspect of that.
And the artists do everything from performances to workshops, classes, in school, after school.
Exactly, like the one-off performance to long-term residencies.
And this is for all grades. I mean, I know that Arts for Learning is doing a lot with early childhood, as well as, of course, K through 12.
Right. Early childhood all the way through now to a high school program called Art Force.
Very cool. So this the opening night, Anne, is a benefit for Arts for Learning. How'd that come about?
You know, we wanted to do a sort of special big opening, but, you know, it's really developed into this community of artists that's, you know, it's almost like a residency of people working together in this space for a while. And we wanted to bring it back to tying it into the community more with this idea of raising money for some organization. So we were tossing around ideas, and actually several of the artists are involved in Arts for Learning on different projects.
Great.
And suggested that they would be a good partnership. And then actually, Joellen and I randomly met separately at a party one night and got to talking, and I was telling her about the exhibition, and it just came out that, you know, she, her husband actually owned the Superior Distribution Company at one point, and was a huge supporter of the arts and a big patron. And then she handed me her business card to so I could send her information about the show. And I was like, Arts for Learning, you're the director. I'm like, this is just...
That's who I wanted to talk to.
Right. It was totally something that was fortuitous, I think.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Well, as Arts for Learning moves into kind of a new arena of community arts, we're working with a couple of the artists that are involved in these installations. And so it's a wonderful connection there.
Yeah, it really is. That's cool. So the party is going to – it starts at 6 and goes till 10, is that right?
6 to 10, yes.
Okay. And food, wine, DJ, art?
All of the above. We have Pork and Beans, which is a brass band that will be playing from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Probably outside, depending on the noise, but and DJ and Sun Kings.
Yeah, if they get too loud, they'll be knocking over Emily's plates.
That's true. That's a good point. Sun King and Gandolfo's Deli, which is a cool new deli coming in, is catering it for us. So we've just had a lot of really great feedback and response, and it should be very exciting.
And the space on Fort Wayne, to help people understand sort of where it is, near downtown, just kind of in that area where Alabama and Central and Fort Wayne kind of all split, just a little bit south of where the Red Cross building
was. Right, so
it's
right where Alabama and Fort Wayne connect. Mm-hmm. It's just south of Central.
Yeah. Very good.
So
cool. So tell me about some of the other artists who are going to be included in the evening.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, and that was an interesting point. Lauren and Catherine and I really wanted to showcase people that are a part of the community here but don't necessarily show a lot in Indianapolis, so that will be exciting. We have Roland Ricketts, who's an amazing artist from Bloomington. He's an IU professor there, and he actually grows his own indigo and dyes fabrics with the indigo and is creating an installation in one whole huge room. And Colin Nesbitt, who's the new curator over at the Heron Galleries, he'll be doing an installation piece for the first time in town. Lauren, Catherine, I was going to bring a list of everybody, so I wanted to... We have some younger people, which is great. Taryn Casella is a sculptor. And then we also wanted to incorporate people that aren't necessarily known as artists. Paul Puzello is an architect and also does interesting sculptures. So he's doing an interactive piece that's pretty amazing. Eric Stein is a graphic designer and artist in town. So he's going to be doing things with text. Chris Stewart of Lure he's like an industrial designer, graphic designer, lots of things that he incorporates, and he'll be doing an installation on one wall.
Now, do the artists go in there and Emily, you can address this as well as Anne, and find things that were left behind that they're incorporating? Is that part of it?
Yes, actually, a big part of my piece I found in the back of the building. It was a huge, large roll of black carpet. Thank goodness it had never been used. So, you know, we kind of scavenge around and see, you know, that's part of the best part, I think, of kind of transforming a space is using what's in there and trying to manipulate and change and kind of into the unexpected. So,
We have one photographer who, Eric Lubrick, who actually works at the IMA doing a lot. He took a lot of things from the site and put them in his studio and photographed them as still lifes and is doing prints of that as a way to document the space.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And Joellen, going back to you, again, I mean, this will be a fundraiser for Arts for Learning. And that's an important thing for you because, of course, the schools help to pay for part of the programs, but can't pay the entire cost. And so fundraising to bring those programs to school is essential.
Yes, absolutely. Almost every program we do is subsidized in some way, even though we are the recipient of grants and donations. The school doesn't pay for the full cost of the program. That's prohibitive. So This is wonderful that that we'll be the recipient of some of the funds.
Very cool. Yeah. Great. Well, it sounds like it's going to be just a great night. And then the exhibit continues on for, what, just about a week or so after?
Right. It'll be up for a week. It's a mm-hmm. pop-up. So mm-hmm. We'll be open from 12 to 6 daily.
12 to 6, so people can just stop by if they miss the opening?
Yes. And we'll be open a little late for our first Friday. Mm-hmm. So...
good. Very good. Well, again, great to see the three of you, and really excited to see supply and demand. Thanks so much for coming into Art the Matter today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with Art Plus Spaces and Surak, artist Emily Konerk, and Arts for Learning's Joellen Florio-Rossabo. The pop-up installation show Supply and Demand opens this Friday, April 24th, with a benefit for Arts for Learning at the Old Superior Supply Building at 918 Fort Wayne Avenue in downtown Indianapolis. That's 918 Fort Wayne Avenue. The show will be up through May 2nd, and you can get more information at artplusspace.com, and you're going to spell the word plus, so artplusspace.com, or go online to eventbrite.com and search for Supply ampersand Demand. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
For almost three decades, the New Harmony Project has been a place and a time where writers can gather for a supportive environment. It's a combination of retreat, workshop, and showcase. And even if you're not a writer, you can participate. Sharon Gamble invited New Harmony Project's Joel Grinheim and Ed Fry to tell us more.
New Harmony Project's been going on for, help me, it's been a long time now. How many years?
29 years.
29? Well, I'm not going to jump the gun and ask you about 30th anniversary plans, but how did you first become aware of New Harmony Project?
I became aware of the New Harmony Project about 3.5 years ago. And just doing a really quick search around for theater arts groups. Arts was my background, and it's something that I enjoyed working in. And mm-hmm. It was time for myself to get back into that. And this is something that came as a bleep on my radar.
You'd gotten away from it. How? What happened?
In my own world, I've worked in the music world for a long time.
Okay.
And worked in that business for quite a while. Went back into the business world for a little bit and worked for some government agencies and things of that nature. And so it was time to come back to my own passion. So
good,
that's
for
how
you.
The New Harmony Project came a bleep on my radar.
That's fabulous. And Joel, you're a longtime theater guy.
I had my first start with New Harmony Project over 25 years ago.
Wow. You were a young pup.
I was a stage manager for John David Lutz, who is the professor of theater at the head of the theater department at the University of Evansville. He was mm-hmm. one of the founders of the New Harmony Project. And I was his stage manager at the IRT here in town. And he said, I need you to come down to New Harmony for us in May. And so that started 1 May ago, 25 years
mm-hmm.
plus.
In a blink of an eye, it's
exactly.
a quarter of a century later. Isn't
exactly.
Funny
I started
how that
when
works.
I was 11. I
yeah, okay. We won't talk about that. But people maybe have this fuzzy idea of kind of what the New Harmony Project is. But if you were met somebody who's in town, doesn't know anything about New Harmony Project, how would you describe it? And I'm not looking for word for word the mission. I'm looking for, in your own words, how would you describe it?
I've always felt it was a place where someone can retreat to an amazing town of New Harmony, and there's something in the air of the town of New Harmony, which just celebrated its 200th anniversary. It's bicentennial last year. But what it was for me is a place for them to fail, where there's no anything put down on the writer to say you have to leave with a finished script. It's a place for you to work, for retreat, not have to worry about meals. We take care of all that, and just to get away. It used to be, before these years of internet, that when they went down there, there were weeks would go by and they wouldn't know what was happening in the real world.
Wow.
And I would go into Evansville to pick up the New York Times for them so they could read, because they would get they would get nervous. I don't know what's happening. That has changed dramatically, of course, with the internet. But it's a place to get away, and it's a place for them to really find the heart of their script, we hope, at the end. But they don't have to leave with a finished product.
That's a rare place these days where you're not expected to have something done.
No, it is. is very special. And we get people who would leave and said they had the most, they got the most work done. And if they leave with the questions in their head, not necessarily the written words on the page, then I think we're successful.
Mm-hmm. Ed, newer perspective, is that a pretty good summation of your experience of the New Harmony Project?
My experience, this will be my third conference, my third project mm-hmm. with the troupe. And absolutely, I mean, what I have seen is community building par excellence. That is our main focus, is to bring in folks that understand that this is going to be a safe place, because it's a sacred place. Mm-hmm. This is a place where you are free to fail, as Joel said, but you're also free to absolutely succeed, and everyone is cheering for you and championing you on. Even coming from the New York and L.A. markets, where it's very competitive, and even your writer friends are competitive alongside with yeah. you, because there's only sometimes so much space for a good script to come into being. This is a place where true collaboration and inspiration are always happening. And we see it every year. I've seen it every year with the folks that walk away from here with something in hand that says, this is beautiful.
The theater world, like most places in the arts, performing arts in particular, has become competitive, and a lot of writers are out there, oh, I've got to get this prize or that award, or, you know, I need it on my CV so I can get theaters to produce me. This feels like it's a bit of a retreat from that and a respite from that for the writers.
I think so. I mean, you always want them to have a piece that they will eventually take and do productions of.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily a production on Broadway. It's a production at a regional theater like the IRT,
right.
Down in Louisville. Any of those things are successes. But we can go back to the successes we've had in the past, but it's hard to put a handle on why the project works, because it allows people to just be part of a community that is supportive. And I don't feel that they leave needing to go to another project.
Right. Right. Step us back and remind us how writers are selected.
The process begins in August of every year, and it is an open call for scripts that lasts for a couple of months, mm-hmm. and we do that call through our website, and writers, through various means, find out about what's going on, either through our website, through our network of theater organizations, directors, producers, mm-hmm. And those scripts come into us. We have an artistic team that's led by Mead Hunter, who is our artistic director,
mm-hmm.
and he has a select group, a crack team,
sure.
that comes together, and they sort through these scripts, which there were almost 300 scripts this
oh
year, I think, to sort through.
We have chosen down to three, so that process took about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We have three scripts that come in full development, which means they have a team, a director, a dramaturg, a stage manager, and a group of actors.
Mm-hmm.
And those are we have those three full developments. And then we are also bringing in writers, six other writers who we bring in, and their title is writer in residence. And they can choose any script that has been sitting in their drawer for a while, or the script they submitted to us of one of those 300.
So you've got nine playwrights,
writers.
And they may or may not know one another. I mean, there aren't that many contemporary playwrights, but
more than you
there are.
Imagine,
yeah, right? Exactly. But
we have some that are returning. We have George Brandt, who's returning, who 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Did a play called Grounded.
Right.
Which Which has gotten an amazing amount of productions.
Describe it briefly.
Grounded is a one-woman show, one-person show, a woman Air Force pilot who is grounded because she gets pregnant, And when she gets back to the force, they say, we don't want to send you up in the F-16s anymore. We'd like you to be a drone pilot. And it's her experience as a drone pilot, saying goodbye to her family in Vegas, driving out to controls, spending 12 hours controlling, spying, and killing, and what it does to her as a person. And at this moment, it is in rehearsal at the Public Theater in New York with Anne Hathaway performing the role of the drone pilot.
Because you need somebody with that many layers of complexity. I'm speaking because I read it as a reader for a play prize about 3-4 years ago. And if you're thinking one person play, how can that possibly be interesting? This is driven. It's full of elegant and raw language. Not raw like bad words, but raw as in raw emotions.
Truly
and
big emotions.
Amazing.
It's a great piece. And it's had, as I said, much success. Also coming back this year is Teresa Riebeck, big TV playwright, producer.
Some things
Smash
people might know.
Smash was her big event a few years ago where she produced and wrote Smash. She works with Law and Order. She's had many plays that have been produced at regional theaters all over the world. She is coming back. She's also on our advisory board. Dan O'Brien is coming back. Dan O'Brien, 3 years ago, had a piece called The Body of an American. Again, a war-related piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up a lot in the as the artist deals with that in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and his piece, Body of an American, has also been done many places, won the first Edward Kennedy Award, which he shared with Robert Schenken. Stephen Dietz is coming back. And I think those are all the returning.
Is Aaron Posner here this year?
Aaron Posner is coming back.
Yeah.
Aaron has submitted an amazing piece, which is kind of a play on Merchant of Venice.
Ooh.
And it is going to be in full development. Aaron is one of our full development playwrights. The other two is George Brandt, as I spoke about, and a fairly young playwright, IU grad, Juilliard grad. His name is Nathan Allen Davis. And he is, I think, a new voice in the world of theater. I think we're going to be hearing a lot about him.
So if you're listening to this conversation going, oh, that sounds like it's a place, New Harmony is now during this festival, a place of all the insiders and stuff. Yes and no, because the public is welcome.
Public
and there's
is always
one
welcome.
Day in particular you people can, might want to come.
You can come and hear all of these three plays. One is by Aaron Posner, one by George Brandt, and one by Nathan Davis in a marathon situation. You come down on Friday, May 29th in New Harmony, Indiana. You come to the Opera House, which is a 40-year-old structure, beautiful place. And you can hear at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. on Friday, May 29th, you can hear all these plays.
So just enough time in between plays that you can go have a cup of coffee and talk about it.
Talk about it, but also experience an amazing town that is too well kept a secret in the state of Indiana, and that's New Harmony, Indiana, on this about 20 minutes west of Evansville.
Fantastic. Ed, what are you most looking forward to on your third go-around?
On our third go-around, we have some just fantastic artists coming this year. You know, in particular, George Brandt's play, Rosetta and Maria. That's going to be a fantastic show, talking about Sister Rosetta Tharpe and the gospel blues that she would bring in that mixture. So, of course, Aaron Posner and Anna Garcia Romero is coming this year. She's from Notre Dame, a wonderful playwright out of Notre Dame. And another person that some folks might be familiar with around Indianapolis here is Kyle Miner. He is a playwright and screenplay professor at IUPUI.
Fantastic. So if people come down, they can say, I heard them when they were just an emerging voice.
Absolutely.
Or I heard that new play, and
exactly.
Now I get to go see a production at the IRT or anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah. We'll break a leg, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Sharon Gamble at the New Harmony Project's Joel Grinheim and Ed Fry. Those public readings they discuss will take place on Friday, May 29th at the Thrall Opera House. You can learn more at newharmonyproject.org. Again, newharmonyproject.org. Ready?
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I know that there's no such thing as saying these two special words too many times, so all together now, let's say it together.
Thank you
to everybody who joined, became a member for the first time, re-upped his or her membership, made an additional gift. What am I missing here?
Called and asked about the Art of the Matter bobblehead.
Exactly. Yeah. Brought us chocolate, et cetera, et cetera. In our recent pledge drive, every word you heard during the pledge drive is true. You really do matter. We can't do it without you. Even if we could find one donor who would just say, I'll just pay all the bills, that wouldn't be right.
No.
It's a very egalitarian thing, this public broadcasting thing we're in. So,
and we really appreciate all of your support.
We do indeed. And if you're thinking, oh, shoot, I knew there was something I meant to do a few days ago, you can still go online to WFYI.org and renew your membership or make an additional gift at any single time. Can you tell the two of us do fundraising in our day jobs? No, not at all.
And once you're done making that membership pledge, then you can listen to us in that calendar that we call
What Will We Do? Yeah, you might find something to treat yourself for, you know, doing the right thing and making your gift to public radio, making your pledge of support. Hey, here's something kind of groovy coming up on May 2nd. That's a Saturday at 7 o'clock. Think about Lava Lamps, Hip Huggers, and Tie Dye. Encore Vocal Arts is doing a performance of Imagine the Life and Times of John Lennon. But it's not just singing. It's a combination of music, theater, costume party, and even karaoke. Yep, indeed, at the Marion University Auditorium. And, of course, with the title Imagine, a tribute to John Lennon, you're going to hear a lot of John Lennon pen tunes, but also some additional music not by him but from that time. And the wonderful local actor Rob Johansson is going to be performing a script that will tell you a lot more about John Lennon's life. So, Life and Times of John Lennon, Encore Vocal Arts, Marion University Theater, Saturday, May 2nd, encorevocalarts.org is how to get more information.
Very cool. Hey, last weekend I was all excited about the orchid show down at Garfield Park and then the perennial plant sale at
you
the
were.
IMA.
You,
I was, and I went
got,
to both.
You got some orchids?
I did. And so this weekend, the Learn How at Hendricks County Master Gardeners event is a gardening show for all ages on the 25th. Including a whole bunch of free educational sessions. This is taking place at the Hendricks County 4-H Fairgrounds in Danville, and including there's a fall gardens class, a plant propagation basics, worms, composting. But what I'm excited about is the growing orchids class that's going to be presented at 1 o'clock from Dick Wells, the owner of Hilltop Orchids. And so that's all part of this event out in Hendricks County on Saturday.
Wow, sounds very green.
Yeah. Get more information, the whole schedule for the events at hendricksgardeners.com.
Well, I have something else that will tap into your green thumb. It's Gourds, the Universal Canvas. It is, not surprisingly, an art show based on gourds as the medium at the Boone County Fairgrounds at Witham Health Services Pavilion, Saturday, May 2nd, Sunday, May 3rd. Bring a can of food for the food bank and get a dollar off admission. And, you know, if you've never seen gourd art, you owe it to yourself to check this out. You can learn more at IndianaGourdSociety.org, IndianaGourdSociety.org.
There you go. Hey, Lawrence, they're at the Lawrence Arts Center, has the Poets Laureate of Lawrence. It's their monthly featured poetry and open mic event that happens on the fourth Tuesday of each month, 6:30 to 8:30. Next one is coming up on Tuesday the 28th, and they're going to be featuring the poet Rumi, who the work is going to be recited by poet Farzad Fadeh in both the original language and in translation in his reading, which will be very cool. And then they'll also have an open reading as well. But Rumi, just a great, great poet, and it'll be really cool to hear it in Farsi as well as in English translation. Again, this is part of the Poet Laureates of Lawrence Arts Center, Tuesday night.
Hey, don't forget that the second annual Jewish Film Festival is ramping up, and lots of films still to see, including The Jewish Cardinal, A Bottle in the Gaza Sea, Arranged. It's a nice, healthy mixture of fiction, films, and documentaries, and as they say, many, many more. And you can find out about that online. There are multiple venues around the city, and people of all faiths and belief systems are welcome at the second annual Jewish Film Festival.
Opening this weekend at the Civic Theater up in Carmel, Monty Python's Spamalot, which I don't really have to say anything else.
Do you have anything with a little less spam in it?
So it opens now, goes through May 9th at the Center for the Performing Arts, and it's worth seeing.
Spamity spam, wonderful.
I just think it'd be such a fun show to be in.
I know, I totally agree. Let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you about. I bet there are some Star Wars fans among our listenership. There is a book tour. There's a beautiful new coffee table book about Star Wars, and it's being supported by a book tour, which is coming to the Hamilton East Public Library May 2nd in Fishers, Indiana. Hamilton East Public Library, May 2nd, Fishers, Indiana. The book is, of course, called Ultimate Star Wars, and oh man, it's full of amazing photos and all kinds of cool trivia that you can amaze and amuse your friends with at the next party you go to. So you can find out more about all that by just putting Star Wars book tour into a search engine.
Cool. Hey, last thing I've got, Sharon, is the Philharmonic Orchestra of Indianapolis Transitions Concert this Sunday, 3 o'clock at the Pike Performing Arts Center. And they will be performing some Brahms as well as some work from pictures from an exhibition, and then also work from Indiana Music Educators Association Composition Competition winner Tyler Habig. His piece, To See and Feel the World, will be performed as well. And Tyler is from Avon and is a freshman at IU at the School of Music there, where he is pursuing a degree in music composition. So that will be all part of the Philharmonic Orchestra this Sunday at 3 o'clock.
That's great. As fellow Creative Renewal Fellows,
yes,
I think both of us want to say congratulations
to all the new fellows inducted last weekend.
Yeah, indeed.
Great. Well, you can also learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis' Indie Arts Guide website, or listen to Sharon and I next week on that calendar that we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Dance Kaleidoscope dancer Marielle Greenlee almost gave up dance while studying at Point Park University in Pittsburgh, but then she took a class with Keisha LaLama and switched from ballet to modern dance, which led to her career here with DK for the past 10 years. For DK's next concert, The Next Wave, Point Park dance professor Keisha LaLama has been invited to Indianapolis to choreograph a new work for DK and to reunite with Marielle. Travis spoke to them both about the project and their past.
Marielle, Keisha, welcome to Art of the Matter. It's great to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
You are very welcome. And Keisha, welcome to Indianapolis as well. It's great to have you here. One of a handful of choreographers that Dance Kaleidoscope has brought in from other cities to create some pieces for DK for the Next Wave concert, which we're going to be talking about in just a minute. But before we get to that, the two of you have quite a long history, is that right?
We do. We go way back.
You go way back, back to Point Park in Pittsburgh, and when you were a ballet dancer, not a modern dancer, is that right?
Well, I started in ballet, and I transferred into Point Park University to pursue a jazz emphasis on my dance degree. So I was leaping from ballet then to jazz, and then, so to speak, and then found my way in modern. But Keisha was one of my professors there at the university.
That's very cool. And now, at that point, I mean, I heard a story that you were actually starting to consider maybe not pursuing dance as a career.
Yeah, she kind of came into my life at a pivotal moment. Being a dancer is kind of a relentless pursuit of sorts, and you spend a lot of time criticizing yourself, and I had kind of gotten to a place on my path where I felt like I wasn't sure if I was tough enough to withstand the lifestyle. So I guess burnout is another word I would throw in there. And I had a good friend who said, I told her I was going to maybe quit, and she said, "Oh, don't be ridiculous. Just change your teachers, change your schedule, change your bedroom, change your hair color, but don't stop dancing." And so I dropped all of my other classes except for Keisha's, and she kind of taught me to fall in love with dancing again, as an art, as a way of movement, as a means of self-expression, as opposed to a brutal technique that you always fall short.
From, never quite perfect.
Yeah, you're taught to criticize yourself over and over and over again. And when you wake up one day and find that there's not a whole lot of self-confidence left, and then you run across a teacher that believes in you so much that it doesn't matter if you don't believe in yourself, you can find the means to move forward.
Keisha, you're nodding your head. You remember this all well.
I do. When I first met Marielle at Point Park, she was one of the most stunning dancers I had ever seen in my life. But I think what was most captivating about her, beyond her instrument and physicality and skill, certainly her talent, was her soul.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was she a beautiful dancer, she's a beautiful person. And so it was, we had a deep connection immediately, and it's one of those things where I don't even know that I recognized in that moment that she was down or in a bad way. I just knew that she was beautiful and needed to dance. And it was really, sometimes it can really be that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Dance is a life of rejection. Being in the industry of the art world, be it performing or visual, art is challenging. And so
is one of the most challenging professions of all.
It is. And it certainly is mind, body, soul, all of those things. And things line up for a reason. And I think it's interesting being a professor. And of course, you give and give and give. And you want to be able to have the students learn and receive the information from you. But in so many ways, as a professor, I think it's important to be a lifelong learner. And so not only was I providing Marielle with information, she also changed my life in return. And so at that point in both of our lives, something happened in that studio, which was, magic to say the least. But she turned around and looked at me, and I was in the beginning stages of being a teacher, and looked at me and said, "You are so talented. You have no idea what you're capable of doing." And in that moment, I recognized the fact that maybe I wasn't living up to my own full potential and being in the rut that I was in myself, because as a professor, you don't really allow anyone to see through you. I literally took a long, hard look at myself and started examining and realized that maybe I was capable of doing more.
So this was a really important time in both of your lives.
Right.
Yeah, we've talked about it after the fact, but at the time it was just kind of this divine
intervention of sorts.
Yeah.
And so obviously you both kept on working together while you were still in school, Marielle. And had you worked together then after that, or have you had much chance to until now?
No, I stayed with her for all of my primary technique classes, and then and then graduated, and I haven't gotten to see her since until now.
So this is a big deal.
This is huge.
Yeah, it's kind of
so special. Yes.
It feels very full circle and kind of meant to be, and this is how it was always going to go down. We just didn't know.
That's really cool.
Yeah, when I got the call, I couldn't believe it, and to have the opportunity to come back and work with Marielle again.
And of course, you were familiar with Dance Kaleidoscope.
Absolutely. Dance Kaleidoscope is one of the most sought after companies in the country, and so I was honored and humbled at the same time to get the call from David. And then realizing that Marielle was still here, this opportunity is a true gift. To
That's
be able
so cool.
to come back and work with her again, and it's quite special. So,
Wow. So again, the what you're here for is a dance kaleidoscope concert called The Next Wave, and it features choreography from a number of different guest choreographers from Chicago and D.C. and through some different programs, four different choreographers. And Keisha, of course, you're here from Pittsburgh and Point Park. Tell me about the piece that you have brought to Indianapolis.
Sure. The piece is actually titled Catapult.
Okay.
And so it really is about that moment in your life where you can go right or left and you have to make a decision. You know the decision deep down inside that you need to make, and you either jump and fly or jump and crash. I'm all about flying.
Mm-hmm.
So Catapult.
Flying's definitely better than crashing.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so it is really about propelling the human spirit forward, onward and upward. And that's what this is all about. And it's a big, huge celebratory piece that is designed for Dance Kaleidoscope. I really want people to enjoy their virtuosity as well as the human beings that they are. So it is a full celebration for the dancers.
Now, is this a piece you had done previously?
Or? It is not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is built definitely just for Dance Kaleidoscope. So it's very exciting.
And Marielle's in it, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
And
how fun. So as you were choreographing this, obviously you were thinking about her and knowing her talents and including her in that. And I'm guessing, yes.
Oh,
yes,
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a little featured dancer. She is stunning. She's one of those dancers, though, that I can look across the room and you know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to work with her is just feeling a sense of home.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of her movement is so sophisticated. It's a dream. It's a dream come true.
That's also got to make it nice for you coming in here and working with a number of other dancers who I'm guessing you didn't know all of the other DK dancers, but Marielle can kind of act as an ambassador and be like, oh, she's cool. It's okay. Right?
I mean, well, they're all cool, to be perfectly honest. It's a DK thing. We're all very, very individual and mm-hmm. very everyone's got a lot to give.
So what's it been like for you working now with your former professor on this piece?
Well, it's kind of a dream because I saw her when I was still sort of forming who I am as a dancer, as mm-hmm. as an adult dancer. And so, I mean, we've both grown and grown up so much since then that it's I can move in different ways now than I ever could then. And so it's a treat. It feels like coming back to a place that you remember, but knowing more this time around. It's pretty awesome.
That's very cool. Now, in addition to Catapult, Marielle, are you in the other dances as well?
Yeah, there's four choreographers, mm-hmm. Brock Clausen, Stephanie Martinez Bennett, and Lucy Bowen McCauley.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all three very unique styles, visually, artistically, physically. So you'll have it'll certainly be a feast for the eyes and for the imagination and for the spirit. It should be a pretty full program.
I would imagine that the company enjoys this a lot. I mean, David Ho Choi is an amazing choreographer, and I love his work, and I know that he works so closely with each of you individually as dancers. But to have a chance to dance another choreographer's work every now and then must be quite enjoyable.
I think it's a really growing experience for everybody because the dancers get to investigate literally different movement and
mm-hmm. styles and approaches.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what you're capable of until you try it. So, yeah. So I think it's very learning for the dancers. I think it's interesting.
Seems like a very healthy thing to do.
Absolutely,
artistically.
Mm-hmm. I think the choreographers come in and they see us differently. You know, everyone looks at the same piece of art and sees something different. So, they can use us in ways that we maybe haven't been used before. They mm-hmm. can ask us to move in ways maybe we haven't moved before. And I think it's cool for our audience and for David to see his
yeah.
dancers move in ways that we never have before. So it's really just 100% positive.
Yeah, I would imagine David's got to be watching, you know, rehearsals and thinking, wow, I could do that with that dancer. Or audiences who, you know, maybe, you know, sort of think of different dancers as being, you know, sort of specific types or styles.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden seeing them in a new way.
There's always a little bit of we've all sort of earned our typecasting a little bit, and we're also all very complicated people. So there's
yeah.
certainly more to us than one would imagine.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good, very good way to put it. Keisha, I know you were just here in Indianapolis briefly. We were recording this a while before the actual performance, but you're enjoying yourself, I'm guessing.
Loving every minute. So there's a great energy in the studio. You know, I think Marielle nailed it. She said that they're very complex and layered artists. And it's interesting because we've already created an environment in the studio where we can trust and share with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so dancers are fearless, and these dancers are breaking boundaries left and right. They're willing to take risks and try things and explore things. And I feel when you provide the opportunity for that to happen, that so much can happen. And David has realized the evolutionary process and really wants to give the opportunity for his dancers and company to evolve and definitely expand. And to take this kind of risk, and certainly imagination is going to bring so much for everybody. And, you know, in the Indianapolis community as well, it's going to expand everybody's perspective on dance and what it can be. So it's very exciting for the city and for everybody.
Excellent. And it's also really cool to have you two reunited.
Of course.
Super cool. Great.
Travis DiNicola with Dance Kaleidoscope dancer Marielle Greenlee and Keisha LaLama, associate professor at the Point Park University Dance Department. You can see Marielle dance Keisha's choreography as part of DK's The Next Wave concert from May 14th through the 17th at the IRT. More information is at dancekal.org, dancekal.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a preview of Encore Vocal Arts' groovy upcoming concert.
I'll chat with Western author Larry Swayze about his latest book, a mystery titled See Also Murder.
Ooh. And I'll find out about a one-man show about Albert Einstein. Plus, we'll have that arts calendar of events we call What'll We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.